There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
There we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at the Parade of Homes Showcase home here in Kimber Ridge. And hopefully you get by tomorrow and check it out. And a reminder, too, a donation, whatever donation you feel right to make, a donation to enter the Parade of Homes Showcase home here, with that money going to the Child Advocacy Center. Great charity, and they're helping support it here with the Mobile HBA. I mentioned my friend Ashley Trice was going to join us. I want to set this up, too. We've been talking about it, of course, all week. It was a week ago, shooting at Ladd Peebles. We can go back through, we don't have to go back through all the details here, although we might in our conversation with Ashley. But the question is, one of them that's been debated this week, whose fault is it, right? Whose responsibility was it to provide the security? I will say the fault is in the people that brought guns into Ladd Peebles. Problem is, you have magnetometers, you have security that is in place for part of the game, but not all of the game. But this is a game between schools of the Mobile County Public School System. You have a shooting here, like you've had in the past at a Mobile County Public School System game. You had press conferences, as you know, the shooting happened on Friday, you had press conferences starting on Monday. And you had representatives from MPD. We've also had conversation from other groups out there and the folks at Ladd Peebles. But what's been missing is a discussion from the Mobile County Public School System and the head of the Mobile County Public School System. And that's something we've talked about this week, but I think it was best encapsulated in with what came out this week in Lanyap. And joining us to talk more about that, co-publisher of Lanyap, Ashley Trice. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Sean. Sorry, hey, and, I thought you were asking me questions earlier, so that screwed you up.
Were you answering? Good, you were answering.
I hope you didn't have it on.
No, I'm fixing to answer you, ask you questions to answer here in a second. I do want to ask you this one first, though. An update on your co-publisher, Rob Holbert. What can you tell folks right now in his condition?
He's doing much better. Obviously, I mean, he had a really significant injury to his leg, and it's going to be a long recovery. But he's had several procedures and surgeries, and the doctors are very pleased with his progress. You know, it's going to be tough, but, I mean, they're happy with how he's progressing. And, you know, they're thinking he's still in New Orleans in the hospital, and they're thinking another couple of weeks there. And then once they get him, you know, it's, you know, they fixed his leg, and now they're kind of working on the wound itself. And once he gets stable there, they'll send him home to, like, do physical therapy and stuff. And I'm sure there's no way we're going to keep him out of the office once he gets back to Mobile. So.
Yes, he will be. He'll be back. And folks, of course, can read along about this in Lanyap and over at lanyapmobile.com. We'll talk about how to get signed up over there in a second. But you wrote something that, and I think you heard from all of us, or most of us, in media when this came out and said, good for you, Ashley. Thank goodness somebody said this. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of people that are outside of media that have asked the same question. And that question you posed is, where is Kressel Threadgill?
Yeah, I mean, reporters like to whine, especially when we don't have access to stuff. That's just part of the job. So we've been grumbling for a couple of years now about not being able to interview Threadgill. And it's not like we, you know, expect to interview him every time something happens in the school system. You know, we are used to going through the comms and the spokespeople. You know, it's just like with the mayor. You know, so every time something happens with the city, we ask, you know, their spokesperson for a comment. That's just the way it goes. But when there's a big story, when something big happens, we're looking at something big picture, and we say, hey, we would like to sit down with you, Mayor Stimson, and discuss, you know, the crime in the city or the civic center or whatever. We're going to have a big interview on it. Usually a public official says, yes, I'm there. With Superintendent Thread Gill, please email, you never speak to him, first of all, ever. You only speak to his spokespeople in communications department, and it's always email the question and we'll send responses back, which that really irritates reporters because, as you know, as someone who interviews people, the magic happens in the follow-up questions. The magic happens in the back and forth and spontaneity. You know, if you get email responses, you get really polished, you know, curated copy that sounds like a press release. And that's happened to us when we were working on a big story for Bernie Mae Davis, the 50th anniversary of that case. He wouldn't sit down with us to talk about, hey, it's been 50 years since this big landmark desegregation lawsuit really set up the entire modern public school system as it is today. How, you know, what have we gotten right? What have we gotten wrong? What can we do better? That kind of thing. You know, and he did email answers back, but still, it's just, it's not the same. So we've, and I know a lot of the television reporters have had the same frustrations with it. And, but the last straw sort of was this last week. It's like, we have probably the biggest crisis situation where, you know, there's a shooting between two Mobile County Public School System schools, and all we've gotten is an emailed statement on Monday night that's basically just platitudes of we're reassessing and it shouldn't have happened and thoughts and prayers, you know? So, you know, I just think, I know he doesn't like to do media, but at some point, I mean, he's paid $266,000 a year, I think. And at some part, it's part of the job to get out there and be the face of the school system and say, you know what, parents, we are taking this seriously. You don't have to worry. Kids that are going to our schools, you know, we are going to have extra security, whatever. You know, just to be a calming force. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's just my take on it.
And it is the job. It is the job whether you're running a school system or making widgets. If you are the top person.
Yeah, if you're the CEO, essentially.
Yes.
You've got to be out there and, you know, I mean, basically he's the spokesperson for the school system. And this is not looking very good, you know.
So. Well, and this, you know, I watched this also over the last year and a half and the COVID crisis. And it doesn't, they don't have to be out there every day, but holding more press conferences than were held, I think, would be beneficial to come out
and
there and have
a column. You know, if he was out in front of the cameras every opportunity, we would call him a showboat. There was a media hungry showboat. But, I mean, he's not at all. I mean, and when there's a situation like this, he needs to be. I mean, just to calm the entire community, not just people who go to public school or have kids in public school, but all of us. We all go to Lab People Stadium. You know, also, you know, we don't really know tons of details. We know there was some altercation between someone that led to this, but do we know if they're students or not? I mean, do we know if this beef is over at this point, you know? So there are just lots of things I think he needs to address as the leader. So,
well, and with having the new police chief there, Brian, that would be, to me, a great way to do that press conference. You have the head of MPD. It would be like the police chief not talking when something like this happens. You have the police chief talking about the law enforcement.
So much finger pointing, and they're saying, well, you're going to have to ask NCPSS about this. Okay, well, no one's here to ask them, you know?
Yep.
And then you call to them and they're like, email questions. I'm like, this is a crisis situation. We're emailing you questions. Okay.
Well, we're not trying to do the frequently asked questions tab of the website.
Exactly.
We're trying.
I mean, and I will say, I mean, he does have an excellent reputation. You know, by all accounts, you know, a lot of city leaders like him. He, you know, he won the Superintendent of the Year in 2020. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, they were trying, Fred Richardson and Mayor Stimson, one of the only things they agreed on, they were trying to, you know, investigate the feasibility of a city school system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had a, like a, a think tank running that. And after they met with Superintendent Threadgill, they're like, we really like this guy and we want to give him a chance before we go any further. So people have confidence in him. I mean, but still, you've got to get out there. I mean, there was one media report the other day, I think it was Fox 10. He was after the regular weekly school board meeting. A Fox 10 reporter was trying to ask him about the shooting, and he said he declined to answer questions and walked briskly away. So, I mean, it literally sounds like he's running away from reporters' questions. I mean, and you got to be able to say, look, we're still looking into it. We'll update you later if you don't know the answers. But just to run away like that doesn't seem very professional in my opinion.
No, and once again, you're fair enough, because if he was out there all the time, everybody called him a showboat. And if
right.
he was, but I think what's being asked is not for everything that happens with the Mobile County Public School System, but if there's ever a time for the captain to be on deck. These
right.
are these situations, and we look at it, whether it be, like you said, a CEO of a private business or a public entity, a company out there, or if it's a school system, this is why you get the this is why you wear the crown, because
yes.
you got to go on the, you got to go, you got to answer questions.
Yes, you are supposed to, you know, be our leader and tell us it's all going to be okay. You know, that's what we're looking for from you. So, and why it's going to be okay and how it's going to be okay. So. Yeah,
but even if it's not going to be okay,
yeah,
if it's not
going
to be just,
yeah.
but you have to say you're the one who comes out and says, you know, here's the situation. You should be the person. That's why it works most too, to see that person in that position, because you want to believe in whatever entity it is. That person has the most access to the information. That person has all the information, can ask all the
exactly.
questions and be given the answer from anywhere in the departments. Right.
Right, or can go find that, or assign someone to go find it. I mean, we were talking at the office. I was just like, you know, what if this had been worse? What if someone had died? What if it had been a student who had died, or several students? Is this the same way they would have handled it? I mean, it's just, it doesn't give you much confidence in their crisis management, you know? So...
And you know, there's actually, there's so much to this, too. People talking about who was responsible, and then we have actually, you know, the people that did the shooting, you know, the first primary responsible people, but then who was responsible for this in the contract and that in the contract. I'm not looking to punish or score points. I want to fix it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that's been the biggest, I mean, that's what, you know, there's been more made of, you know, whose fault it is than what are we doing going forward, and like you said, fix it. What are we going to do to fix this? So,
because you know what, we're not going to. Yeah, if we sit around and point fingers and try to think out, you know, who's responsible for this and who's responsible for that, we're not. That's time that we're not
settled,
fixing
by
it.
By the way, we're still arguing that over that today. So,
What happens? What happens next in this? I mean, I know what you're writing about is to have the head of the Mobile County Public School System step up, but. What happens
yeah.
next in this? I mean, what would you tell parents at this point? I mean, they've got to have the ability to apply the most pressure, right? People with kids in school.
I would write letters and say, hey, you know, I like you. I like a lot of the things that you've done. You know, I loved everything you've done with ABCs and 123s, but I need you to be out there telling me that my kid's going to be okay. That's what I would do, you know. Because it just, I feel like a lot of times they will... just let things kind of fade away. You know, if something is unpleasant, it just kind of fades away, and we let it because another story comes along and we all get, you know, interested in that. And that's what happens with all news stories, really. But, you know, I just worry if something worse happens, where are we going to be? So.
No, you're asking the right question. I mean, you're asking the right question, and I think it's. And I'm looking at the text line right now too. It's not just you know, folks in media. It's just folks out there that say, yeah, there should be a response from the person in charge, and
right.
we should have that press conference.
It's
and that
simple.
Is not asking too much.
He doesn't have to sit there for 4 hours, but be out there, put your face on it. So.
All right, let's talk about this. People want to read more of course, this and the great reporting y'all are doing day in and day out with Lanyap. How they get hold of the publication, how they get signed up, most importantly.
Okay, well, you got so many ways, Sean. First of all, you can get it, of course, in one of our purple boxes. hundreds of locations all over Mobile and Baldwin counties. So 100% free to do that. But also sign up for a digital subscription at mylanyapmobile.com. And it's just 21 cents a day, $1.50 a week, however you want to look at it. And you get, I mean, we probably had 7-8 breaking news stories that's not in the print issue. Just, you know, in the last couple of days. So that's what you get. You get all of our archives, you get podcasts, you get breaking news. So, and you just help us pay all these reporters to go find out whose fault this is. So.
That's right, and I want y'all to continue it. So absolutely, do like I did, y'all, and get signed up. Ashley, I appreciate your time, and we'll have to talk again very soon.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
You too. Ashley Trice joining us, co-publisher of Lanyap, and of course, lanyapmobile.com. We're coming right back. More of this very show, Midday Mobile, but we are live at the Parade of Homes Showcase Home here in Kimber Ridge in Irvington. Come check it and the other homes in Mobile County and Baldwin County out over the weekend. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live at the Showcase Home for the Parade of Homes going on this weekend, Mobile and Baldwin Counties. And you can check out more on the Home Builders Association website or through our social media post. And tomorrow and Sunday, your chance to check out these homes in Mobile and Baldwin County. The one I'm at is in Kimber Ridge in Irvington. Really great house. And what I love about it is that quick interstate access. It really is. It's like 5-6 minutes up to the interstate, and then I'm back. I was from the station, from here to the station, and we're at airport in 65. It's like 15 minutes. It's really pretty good. And the FM Talk 106.5 van does not go that fast. All right. I'm going to look at some of these texts here, and also I can take some calls. Plus, Dalton and I are going to talk. I mean, you know, this weekend's coming up. There's a football game Dalton and I need to talk about coming up, so we'll do that in a little bit. All right. So this texter says there's been no feedback from the mask. Also, there's been no feedback from the mask survey sent out weeks ago. Also with the school. Let's see. What about, Brian says, what about lad management? Not a peep. No, they have had a peep. I won't get to that in a second. They have peeped. They've been peeping. By the way, though, part of this thing, I called it when it happened. Not that I think that makes me cool or anything, because it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible deal. But I have watched this stuff happen for the longest time. I watched it. I worked in rock and roll radio for decades before this. And we'd go to all these music shows. And they'd be real tight with tickets and, you know, security and all that stuff at the beginning of the show. By like halfway through the show, you could have walked cell block C in there and sat them down and not gotten stopped and not got a ticket checked. It's just, it happens. And they're talking about the security at the beginning of the game. And then the suspects here go back out to their vehicle and get a gun and come in afterwards. All right. Billy says here, I've had several friends, family members, and a physician buddy get the antibody treatment. Okay, is this, I don't know what that, is that, okay, these are all jumping. I'm sorry. These are all jumping. There it is, Billy, sorry. It's what happens when I'm doing the major text line, not on the big screens of the studio, but on my phone. Sean, the lack of availability and willingness to discuss a severe issue by our Mobile County Public School leader is totally unacceptable and should not be tolerated. That seems to be the Joe Biden approach, which is not working out too well for any of us. The root cause of this problem needs to be addressed, and solutions and protocols should be implemented immediately to prevent such a heinous situation in the future. Really a shame that our kids cannot go to a high school football game and enjoy it while feeling safe. Lack of leadership for years was a reason we opted to go the private school route for our children. And that's from Billy. And I, you know, you say so many things that are perfect right there. It is a shame that kids cannot go to a high school football game and enjoy it while feeling safe. Preach. That's not a crazy expectation. That should be a normal expectation. That's a normal expectation. And the leadership thing, if you listen to Ashley and I's discussion and read Ashley's piece, nowhere was it a discussion of whether Crystal Threadgill was doing a good job on the other things with the school system. And I'm not saying that this violence issue is the Mobile County Public School System's fault. Is it LAD? Is it the schools? We'll work that stuff out. But you only do that when you have leadership and you step up. You are the CEO of the public school system. When times get tough, that's when you stand up. No, you can't be the CEO. You can't be the superintendent and have every day have somebody call you and you have to come out and comment on A, B, and C. But when there's a dang shooting like this and we're trying to figure out how to keep kids safe, you have the head of the police there. You should have the head of the school system there, too, answering questions at a press conference. We didn't get that. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So the news report says, by the way, hi, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. We are live at the Parade of Homes Showcase Home here in Kimber Ridge. But so the news report says, talking about illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. It gave the stats of numbers coming through, which we talk about a whole bunch. And then it gave statistics, I think, for how many were in camouflage. Now, just a second here. I just want to put things in perspective. This is no discussion about reporting on illegal immigration. We do it all the time. But camouflage is not, it's not like the movie Predator. It's not like the cloak in Lord of the Rings. I mean, if the people, they could be wearing some, I mean, maybe if they were wearing real tree, they would get caught. And if they had Mossy Oak on, they wouldn't get caught. But I mean, I don't know that Mossy Oak has a border cross camo. I'm not sure. That may be something that's offered by Realtree that has new Realtree's border crosser or something like that. Or maybe Mossy Oak's going to work on it. But just when the news report, they act like they were just saying an atomic bomb. They're like, and some were wearing camouflage. Well, if they're running across the desert, I don't care what camouflage they're wearing. You can see them. Okay, so just, this idea that if they got camo, these are going to be the unstoppable illegal immigrants. Y'all think we had trouble before. If the new ones wear camouflage, we're sunk. Especially if they wear new Mossy Oak border crosser camo coming out this fall. All right, I'm sorry. Dalton, football game this weekend.
Yeah, and before we get to that, I mean, you really have to worry about the illegal immigrants wearing the Harry Potter invisibility cloak as they cross the border.
Well, I think people, the reporters report on camouflage almost like it's like, remember in the movie Predator where they push the button and and all of a sudden become like, just like a picture image or something, or like a cloak of invisibility. It's still, it makes it better, but if they're running across the border, I don't care if they're in woodland camo, Mossy Oak, Realtree, Breakup Extreme Border Crosser Edition. If they're running across the border, you can still see them.
Yeah.
Okay, just wonder, but this is just why I am going to one day open a business, a consulting business, that for movies, TV shows, news reports that need to know things that exist in my world, mm-hmm. of like outside stuff and good old boys and gals world, we will consult with these people. They can show us what they're going to put in some movie about Alabama, and I'm going to say, none of us talk like that. We don't actually do that thing. And I'll consult, and I'll make millions, and I'll sit back, and I'll laugh, and I'll laugh, and I'll laugh. Something like that.
So. Yeah, they're also, the Border Patrol, falling for decoys now on the border.
Really? Like,
yeah, turkey like, decoys.
Turkey decoys, duck decoys, mm-hmm. what do they do? They have an illegal immigrant decoy set out a whole spread
a little bit
in
of
the dark, and then it comes daylight, and those silly Border Patrol agents, look, they're running towards the decoys, and here we go around the end, because we're wearing camouflage, and they can't see us.
Pretty much.
Okay, just want to check. So football game this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, I think...
I mean, I know there might be a lot of them. There's one I want to talk with you about.
There's only one that you and I are focused on.
Yes.
And I guess we have to do this exercise every single year until the team in orange finally beats that team wearing crimson. But the last time...
How long has that been?
Well, specifically, it was in October of 2006. And mm-hmm. the people who write about this game every year have had basically the easiest job ever because they can just copy and paste. The last time Tennessee beat Alabama, MySpace was still more popular than Facebook. The iPhone had still yet to be invented, How about Holy this? Cow. Hannah Montana debuted on the Disney Channel that year, Sean. The last
time. How old's what's her name now? What's her tramp?
She's been through like three of her nine lives since then, I believe. She's probably right around my age, actually. And speaking of which, I didn't even have my driver's license the last time the Tennessee beat Alabama. And the finale for The Sopranos had yet to air.
The last time Tennessee beat Alabama, Tony Soprano was still alive, and the actor.
Yeah.
Of course, we're still alive.
Gandolfini was still alive. That's right. So that's how long it's been. It's been a long time.
And so what are you thinking? This is your year?
Yeah. I think this is the year we finally get them. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't confident. Oh, no. I have no confidence that we're actually going to beat Alabama tomorrow, Tennessee.
Oh, make this fun. Come on. Have some confidence.
I think we need to make a bet. Like, I know we talk about it every year.
Okay.
I haven't really even brought it up the last three years.
I haven't even. So what's the latest line? What is Vegas saying on this?
25 points. Is that good? Alabama's favored by 25 points over Tennessee right now.
Can I buy it down to 23? Can I?
Well, let's call it. I mean, I say let's call it three touchdowns. Does that sound fair? Alabama so
21.
I'll even give 21. Let's call it two touchdowns. That's how confident I am. This is probably really stupid to do.
I'll take that.
But now,
14 point spread, right?
And I'm an idiot for taking that, by the way.
14-point spread. Okay, no, this I don't like this.
There's no way that it's going to be within 14, but I am a little confident.
Now you're sandbagging. You're sandbagging, Orwick. Okay. Don't even try me on that. I don't fall for that stuff.
I mean, what's the bet, though? I don't want to do money. You know, that's kind of boring, right? Just betting money on a game. And still illegal, right? Well, I don't think between friends, it's not illegal. What about, and I've been giving this a little bit of thought, how about the winner? Now, stick with me. The winner gets to text the other's significant other from the loser's phone.
Hold up.
Tennessee keeps it within 14. And I really need to. I need more points than that. But if Tennessee keeps it within 14, I get to text your wife something
from
your phone, and you
as me.
Yeah, and for some amount of time, you can't, you know, say wait. That was Dalton, or vice versa. You could text obviously if Alabama.
If Alabama would not cover the 14 points, then I would hand you my. Kind of beat up Samsung Galaxy.
Yes.
And you would go on there and you would text the missus whatever you wanted.
Right.
As me. Not as Dalton, as me.
Yes. Yeah. And then vice versa. Same thing. If Bama wins by more than 14, you can have my shiny iPhone that's not beaten up and text my wife.
This could make interesting. This could also make our lives very uncomfortable around each other for decades to come, Dalton.
Yeah, it could. It really could.
So I would take your phone. So your wife would think it's you texting her on the phone. This is intriguing.
Are you good with that? Are you fine with making that bet?
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. The bet is the other one gets. For how long? What are like? What's the window of time? Like,
I don't know.
I would get your phone for how long? Would I have your phone for
on the text line? I mean, what's fair? Is 5 minutes fair? And that could feel like an eternity depending on what the winner texts on the loser's phone. 5 minutes. Could
Y'all let us know this.
You could do a lot of damage in 5 minutes, I believe. To one's relationship.
After you press send on the text, right? Then at that point the count starts.
Right. Yeah. I think 5 minutes sounds right because if it was 10 minutes. I mean, that would take a long time. But also, you have the rate
almost
of response,
10 minutes, yeah.
Right? If my wife doesn't respond, maybe she's busy working. Maybe she doesn't respond for 20 minutes. So maybe 5 minutes from the time a response comes back. That sounds fair.
But there can be no advance warning either on this. Oh. That's the problem. I'm worried about there being some advance warning where they would expect, you know.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all.
Of course you wouldn't. Sure you wouldn't.
Ben says a minute per point difference. That could be, I mean, if that would be me
minutes.
On the losing end of that, because there's a very real possibility that Alabama wins by like 50 points. Not
I could
as much
ask for all kind of stuff on that text in 50 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I could be in trouble. Also, something I brought up with Dan this morning. I'm not sure. It kind of made him uncomfortable, this question that I posed. So the game's in Tuscaloosa. And, of course, Tennessee fans known for throwing things on the field now, after they did that on Saturday night.
I hadn't heard, huh?
If a Tennessee fan were to get past the Bryant-Denny metal detectors that they take down in the first quarter.
Geez.
If a Tennessee fan were to get past those detectors and a bad call happened, and they threw, instead of mustard, maybe a glass jar of relish, and and laid Nick Saban out.
Condiment.
Let's say it laid Nick Saban out on the field, like unconscious. Would that Tennessee fan make it out of Bryant-Denny alive? I don't think so.
So the glass jar full of pickle relish, right?
Yeah.
Hits Nick Saban.
Knocks him out.
Knocks him out. We don't know if he's dead or alive, but he's out.
I mean, we're talking about dead aim from the upper deck.
And they have to put Nick Saban in that tent thing, right? So nobody can see what's going on there.
Yeah.
So he gets in the tent thing.
Does that fan make it out of Bryant-Denny alive? I don't think they do.
How big of a old mountain boy from Tennessee is he?
Let's say he's a skinny freshman frat boy.
He's dead.
Okay.
He's dead.
Let's say he's a big guy.
Body parts of his will go. He's dead as well.
I mean, regardless,
it just takes a little longer.
They're fighting their way out of Bryant-Denny, regardless, if that happens.
If somebody saw. I mean, what do you think? If we showed up in Neyland Stadium and threw something out and, I don't know, hit. Who's most valuable to you right now? Nobody, really, actually. So.
Yeah. Maybe Smokey, if you hit the dog.
Okay, if you hit Smokey with a big jar of pickled pig's feet and knocked him out.
Knocked him out, yeah.
Would the Bama fan make it out of... Would we make it out of Knox County?
I mean, there's 100,000 angry people, you know, looking right at you. So, you would need a security save. But, you know, if a Bama fan hit a Tennessee coach, we're not as attached to our coaches as you are to yours.
I have a feeling we'd be carried out like, he is the champion.
You would probably actually be saving the university a lot of future buyout money if that were to happen.
Okay, so that's the question of dismemberment. The other one, people are still checking in here. So we do have a bet. We have a bet here at...
Sam says 5 minutes seems fair. This person says if you threw anything at Phil Fulmer, 100% chance you wouldn't miss.
Don't get me started. I love to talk. I love to Phil Fulmer jokes, but maybe we'll save those for Monday after I get done texting Dalton's wife.
Oh, gosh. What have I signed up for? What have I done?
Oh, this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. All right, we're coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Oh, this is going to be too much fun.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ruth Lichtenfeld from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, so I'm gonna dish on a conversation we had earlier, and that was when we talked, you know, about people contacting you, they have an injury, the importance of getting with you early on this, and we'll circle back around to that. But you and I are having a conversation that you get a call, and somebody is calling really for legal advice, although we've talked about the fact that you're a nurse and also a personal injury attorney, which is unique in our area. And sometimes even if you break away from the law for a second and talk about their health and how they're feeling, because that's a big part of your life too.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is. And so I screen a lot of cases. I talk to a lot of people. I'm privileged to talk to a lot of people to see if we can help them, either me or our firm. But sometimes if I really don't find a basis for a lawsuit, but they have an issue, I try to direct them. I don't give medical advice per se, but I will say, if this were me, I would go see a neurologist for this issue. And I try to direct them to solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always have a legal problem, but they always have a problem. And so if it's a medical problem, then I try to direct them to a source where they could, you know, get some help for it, even if it's not through litigation.
That's a rare phone call we can make to have, to, you know, that kind of wisdom on both sides. And I guess even in the case you go, my gosh, that person does have a case, but let's go ahead and get this treated while y'all are doing
right,
getting the information gathered for a case.
The goal is still to make them, quote, whole, both medically or physically and financially.
That's a super thing to get off into that I want to pick your brain on. We talk about, you know, compensatory and punitive. We hear those things thrown around, but let's talk about that. Like, somebody gets in a wreck and gets that injury. They're calling you. The first part is you got to figure out, like, how to get them well again, right? That's very nurse side of this.
Well, it's a dual track. I want to help them feel better, and I also want to be their aggressive advocate to help them recover what they deserve from the negligence of someone else. But it's a dual track, and I think that's in our entire firm, we do both. We care about the person, we care about their legal rights, but we really just want to help them feel better as well. So it's a simultaneous track, at least in my opinion.
Well, people will realize the first track. They'll be like, oh my gosh, this hurts, that hurts, I have this injury, I can't see, I have headaches and those kind of things. And so you're working on getting that fixed and how to make them whole as best as they can physically right then. But y'all are looking at things like lack of future earnings, issues they could be having down the road, things that haven't even manifested themselves yet.
Right. That's exactly right. And effect on family relationships is very important. And it's really hard to put a, quote, number on that, a dollar on that.
But most people don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, until you, it's a real thing. But people are like, oh, well.
No, we look at the whole person. It's a very holistic kind of legal assessment. And with me, legal and medical assessment, I don't practice as a nurse anymore. I still have my license, I'm proud to say. I've had it for 40 years, but...
That's a lot of wisdom.
It's a lot of CEUs.
Yeah.
Is what it is. But,
but y'all do that. You know, you're talking about the CEU, but talking about making yourself better and better, whether it is in the world of being a nurse, but also you were talking about the other day that you just had another seminar on car crashes and what can happen and the information available technology wise.
Exactly, and that was so fascinating to me. I didn't grow up in the era of computers or cell phones, although I use both now, sort of. But this seminar was by a forensic person who showed us how you can track the movement of a cell phone through the tower pinging that cell phone. You can subpoena records to show the location when the pinging stopped, so you know the time of the collision with our client typically, and then also the location of that. I have a case, or had a case, where you know, someone said, no, never on the phone, wasn't on the phone, but the phone record showed differently at the time of the impact.
I call that I call that lying, but go ahead. I know you.
I don't call it lying. I call it misrepresentation of the facts.
That's because you're a professional. You're a personal injury lawyer, and I'm you know, a guy who talks on the radio. I call it lying, but okay, I'm following you.
Okay, all right.
So here is your client, somebody who's called you. Mm-hmm. They're injured. They're saying, listen, this person, I looked up and saw them on their phone when they hit me, or whatever it is, and that person, not me.
That's right. Somebody tells you they never use the phone while they're driving, never check a text message, never are distracted at all. That just cannot be.
That's suspect, isn't it?
It is. It just cannot be. Fact. It cannot be.
You know, you talk about this, the forensics and the technology, but this does have a shelf life of sort, right? The faster somebody calls you at Taylor Martino, this is important. Explain why that's important.
Okay. In the rules of evidence, it's called spoliation, which is if the evidence is destroyed, then it's forever lost. It's spoiled, basically. And with cell phones especially, you can delete messages, phone calls, text messages, Facebook postings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know much else about Snapchat or...
And nor do I. That makes two of us. It's okay. So,
but I know at least with cell phones, you can delete a lot of information. And what I learned at the seminar last week is that the forensic specialist, they can see every message to your phone has a, they call it a handshake. So if I'm sending you a text message, Sean, my phone first handshakes with your phone, and it leaves a little trail of that. Even if you delete the message, there's evidence that a message
there
was
something
sent
was
from
there.
My phone to your phone, and I thought that was fascinating.
So, so even if they get rid of it, you can still say, hey.
The handshake does not, you cannot get rid of the handshake. Most of us didn't even know there was a, quote, handshake in these between the cell phones, but I thought that was worth,
oh my gosh,
you know,
yeah,
the seminar.
So when somebody calls you and says, listen, I was doing right, that person hit me, they're saying they were not on their phone, I saw them on their phone, Ruth,
then
you get this information, you go find the handshake.
Yes, right. And we can if the tortfeasor, the person who's caused the accident, doesn't voluntarily let us download their cell phone data, then we can get a court order, typically, if it's appropriate, and that's the only reason mm-hmm. we would ask the court to issue an order to download the cell phone records around the time of the accident, maybe the day before or the day of.
All right. I want to talk about a couple things here. Number one, remind folks that you are a nurse. You're a personal injury attorney. This is a unique situation. And while we're going to call you because somebody has injured us and we want you to be our advocate in the courts, mm-hmm. you also see it through a little bit different lens.
I do. I really care about the person's injuries, both from a medical standpoint to, you know, see what we can do to make them feel better, make their life better. Try to restore as much as we can to their pre-accident, you know, being, and also their legal issues. And, you know, I've told all of my clients, they can call me every week to check in. I don't mind. They can call me every day. I may have to call them back, but I don't mind that. And, you know, nurses are communicators. We mm-hmm. talk all the time to people, and it's the same in the legal profession. People are surprised to know that I really think it's practicing law is not that much different than being a nurse, because a lot of the skills are exactly the same. It's communication, it's compassion, it's advocacy. You just apply a different body of the law.
All right. People need to make that call and talk to you. How do they do it?
Taylor Martino, 433-3131, or our website is taylormartino.com.
Ruth Lichtenfeld, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.